You have your Bibles with you today. We are in a sermon series that we're calling Tales by the Sea, looking at stories that happened in or around the Sea of Galilee. We pick up our lesson exactly where we left off last week. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But this is a story that is somewhat known, of course, as Jesus and the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee. Disciples are in a boat by themselves when a storm rolls in and a shadowy figure comes walking to them on the water. We know it's Jesus, and so listen to this word. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side when he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking to them on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." A little more about that in a moment. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage. It tells us of two water walkers. It talks about fear. It talks about faith. It talks about you. I pray, Lord, that the words that we plan to say today would be pleasing to you. But if you want to change the words, change my heart. And may these words become your words as they already are. I pray for a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I were to ask you this morning to put in your mind's eye a sanctuary, what sanctuary would come to mind? Maybe you would picture this one. You know, we've had two sanctuaries on this site in our history. One that we call the CWC, and we worship in there at 9 o'clock. And now we worship here at 11 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, we have screens and chairs and a praise band. Here we have pews and hymnals and a chancel choir, right? Perhaps when you think about a church, you think about this sanctuary, this place. In 30 years of being a pastor, I think about all the places where I have served and all the sanctuaries I have been in. The one that comes to first to my mind is the one I grew up in Jackson, Tennessee. There were five sections of pews and a floor that slanted from the back towards the front. The aisles had carpet. Under the pews was a wood floor. What I learned then was that if you dropped a little pencil just right under a pew, it could roll all the way to the front and make a lot of noise during a pastoral prayer. I know a guy that happened to. Me. In Dallas, I worshiped in a church where they moved the room around from time to time. They had chairs. They didn't have an altar area. They just had a flat surface. And one week you go in and the chairs were facing this week. The next week you go in and they were facing this week. And the next week they might be facing that week. And I kind of like that because I like to move furniture around from time to time. I like to do that. I've worshipped in rooms like this one with beautiful stained glass windows. And I worshiped in fellowship halls where on Sunday you took up the chairs for Wednesday night's meal. And you put up the tables and you put up the chairs and you had the meal. And then on Sunday it became a worship space again. We did this twice a week. Yeah, I've worshiped in a lot of different worship spaces. Now I want to ask you to do something with me. Would you do it? Maybe. It's easy. It's not hard. I want to ask you to look up. Don't notice the stains on the roof. We're going to fix those. But look up. Do you see it? All right, look back at me now. A lot of churches are shaped like our church. Ceilings with trusses that come to a point with lights that are almost impossible to change. Right? Right? Stay with me. If somehow you're able to flip the room upside down where the ceiling becomes the floor, do you know what you have? You got a boat. That's exactly right. You've got a boat. Can you imagine it? The early church symbol for the church was a ship on the water, a common symbol, a ship on the water, not on calm waters necessarily. Often it is depicted on a stormy sea, right? We all understand that, don't we? We've all been through some storms. I know I have. The main part of the church, which is where you are today, is called the nave. I learned that in seminary all these years ago. And I read this week that the nave comes from the Latin word navus. Do you know what the word navus means, translated? Ship. Ship. Boat. Right? Which leads us to our scripture lesson for today. Today is the third of the four sermons in this series, Tales by the Sea Inspired. When I was at the ocean a few weeks ago, and Tom, thanks for preaching for me again, I thought about how many stories happened on the Sea of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, on the towns it surrounded. 70% of the ministry of Jesus happened in that place. Last week, we heard of the death of John the Baptist, and Jesus got in a boat with the disciples, and they went to a deserted place. You remember? And the disciples, when they landed, they noticed that those in the crowd had followed them along the seashore, along the shoreline, and they caught up with Jesus and the disciples there. And Jesus had compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And at the end of the day, the disciples suggest to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, send them away so that they can get something to eat." This was last week's sermon, right? You remember what Jesus said? They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. That was the challenge from Jesus, and it's the challenge that I give to you as well each and every day. We need to feed those who are around us. So fish and bread became food for about 20,000, or the preacher's count, 50,000 or so, right? And so this is where we pick the lesson up. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Jesus finally is getting that time away that he needs to mourn the loss of his cousin, the front runner, the baptizer. And he goes up on a mountain and he prays and he's alone with God. Meanwhile, on the Sea of Galilee, a storm has blown in. Now, I've told you this before. Listen to it again. It was common for a sudden storm to come in over those mountain ranges onto the Sea of Galilee. They were quick and they were sudden and sometimes they were furious. But by this time, Matthew writes, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land. Matthew writes this line, for the wind was against them. I want you to see this. In that boat were 12 disciples. Four of them knew about storms on the sea. Four of them were fishermen, right? Simon and Andrew, James and John. They knew that as long as they stayed in the boat, worked together with the sail and the rudders and the oars, most likely everything would be okay. Listen, they weren't afraid of the storm. What they were afraid of, what was walking across the waters. You see, in that day, they didn't know what was under the waters. It was believed that sometimes there were sea monsters and evil kind of living under the waters. And so when they see something walking across the waters, they scream out and they say, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" They were scared. And Jesus calls out to them quickly and he says, "Listen, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I." In the Greek, that is translated, "I am." In other words, hey, it's me. It's Jesus. If you go back to the Old Testament, that story where Jesus, where God calls Moses out of the burning bush, and Moses is arguing with God about, "Well, what am I supposed to tell people when I meet them?" He says, "Tell them I am sent you. That's my name. I am. Take heart. It's me. I am. Do not be afraid." Now, this would be a great story if I just ended it right here, wouldn't it? I mean, a water walking kind of miracle, right? We would say, "Wow, Jesus can walk on water. See y'all next week." But there are two water walkers in our story for today. I want you to see this. I learned this week. Matthew, Mark, and John all tell this story. Matthew is the only one who describes the storm, and Matthew is the only one who has Peter walking on the water. I've missed that. Matthew is the only one. It is Peter's walk and doubt that you hear about. Listen, "Lord," he says, "if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. If it's you." And what Jesus gives here, are y'all with me? It's not a command. It's not an order. It's not a push. It's permission. He simply says, "Come." I think that's important. Not a command, not a coaxing, not enticing, permission. There is some faith for Peter to go out of the boat and to walk on the water, to walk as if he were walking on dry land. There's some faith there, but there's some skepticism too. Choir, did you hear it? "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come and walk on the water." Now, I know this is a little different. You may not have heard this before. I read this week, and it resonated with my heart. Hear me out. Peter's faith would have been stronger if he'd stayed in the boat. Are y'all with me? He wouldn't have said, "If it's you, command me to walk on the water." What I'm trying to get a point here is he would have known that it was Jesus. And he would have said to Simon, he would have said to Andrew, "Move over. This is where Jesus is going to sit. I know that it's Jesus. He's coming to sit beside me." Now, preachers like me have preached this sermon. Tom, have you preached this sermon before? I mean, here's the sermon. If you had a little more faith, you'd get out of the boat. You'd walk on the water, you keep your eyes on Jesus and not on the wind and not on the waves. That's the typical sermon from this text, right? Y'all have heard the story, haven't you, about the three preachers who went fishing one day? Have you heard that story? Three preachers were going fishing one day, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, and a Methodist. And the Baptist says, "Oh, I forgot something. I'm going to go back to the shoreline." So he walks on the water, gets what he needs, and walks right back. And the Methodist going, "Wow. That's cool," right? The Presbyterian says, I'm going to go get a drink. And so he walks across the water and walks back, and the Methodist is going, "Wow, walking on water." Y'all have heard this before, right? Surely you have. Tom, you've told it, right? Tom, you've told this story. Then the Methodist gets out, falls right down into the water. And the Baptist turns to the Presbyterian and says, I guess we should have told him where the rocks are. You've heard that, right? That's the usual sermon. If we had enough faith, we'd be able to do that, not pay attention to the winds and the waves. But I think the message is deeper. I think that the lesson is about believing despite the winds. I think it's about believing despite the waves. I think it's about believing despite the deep waters. Do you remember what Jesus did after he saved Peter from the water? He put him in the boat, and then he calmed the storm, and they worshiped him. May I ask you, have you ever lived a life in a way that you felt like you were navigating a storm with wind and waves battering the ship and the wind is against you and trouble came in waves? In such times, the last thing I think you might expect is to see Jesus walking on the water towards you. But that's what Jesus does. So instead of getting out of your boat and walking towards Jesus and wondering, is this Jesus? If it's really you, instead, invite him in. May I go back to the first of the sermon where I remind you that if you look up and turn this place upside down, we're all in this together. Are y'all with me? We are floating on this sea of life together. And Jesus says, come, let me sit beside you. And he does. Invite him in. That's what I think this story is about. Fear and faith in the church. Amen.